name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the second Sunday, or the first Sunday of the Holy Great Fast. Last week was the Preparation Sunday. Today is the concluding of the first Sunday. As we know in the Church has a theme for us during the Holy Great Fast, and the readings begin on Monday, and all the readings from Monday to Saturday have something to do and relate to the Gospel reading of today, of Sunday. When you're reading at home, we can kind of follow this pattern. So tonight when you go home, read next Sunday's Gospel, and then every day read the reading of the day, the Gospel for every day, and you'll find you can tie them together, each subject for each day. Today the Lord speaks to us about laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. The heavenly treasures are those things that we acquire here on earth, but they're invested in heaven. So it's things we do here on earth, but I don't invest them to gain a return here on earth, but I invest them to gain a return in heaven. There are many types of treasures. There can be treasures of our works, of our good deeds. There could be treasures of love that I show one another. The love that we have for one another will certainly last until the afterlife, right? There are three great virtues: hope, faith, and love. Will we have hope in the kingdom of heaven? No, we won't need any hope in the kingdom of heaven. Well, do we need faith in the kingdom of heaven? No. But will we have love? Yes. So this is what will last into eternal life. Also, our service that we do for others for the name of Christ. Because we can do service for our own sake, right? We can do service so I can gain something out of it. I'm going to serve in a way because I need something in return to help me. This has its earthly reward. This goes with those things of the earth. But the heavenly reward is when I serve, not desiring reward here in heaven, but desiring on earth, but desiring the heavenly reward. Also, as we mentioned last week, the charitable deeds that we do. When we give alms, al-ata, that we give, to our brethren. And again, we mentioned last week that this can be in different ways. It doesn't always have to be in money. It can be in time, can be in things, it can be in compassion and love and so on. Last week we spoke about some just general principles of giving of alms, or giving in general. We mentioned, we mentioned that alms should be given with joy. And we said also that the reward we receive from giving is proportionate to how easy it is for us to give. And if I give freely, the reward will be greater. And the one who gives to the poor and the needy is the one who himself profits. I gain at the end. And also the soul that seeks a reward from people will only receive that. So doing charitable deeds and giving of alms will not only provide us with a heavenly reward, but there's also a benefit to us. There's a treasure for us. So today I'll speak about four simple points. What are the treasures of giving? What is it that we get from giving? In Bible study, we're studying the book of Tobit. There's a beautiful verse that kind of explains this to us in Tobit chapter 4. This is the time after in Tobit's life. Tobit is the father, right? And this is the beginning of the book. So Tobit was a righteous man. Part of his charitable deeds, he was known for his charitable deeds. Part of his charitable deeds is that at the time the king didn't like the Jews, and because he lost a war to the Jews, remember when he went and he tried to attack Israel, and an angel came and killed 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrians. So he went back to his camp angry at Israel. So what did he do? He took it out on the Israelites who were living in Assyria. And Tobit was one of them. So these people, he would have them killed and leave their bodies in the streets so the wild animals can devour them. Just a way of humiliating them. But Tobit saw this and had compassion on them. And then he says he took it upon himself to go and bury these people, even if it cost him his life or threatened his life. And he did this. So his giving was in a way that he couldn't receive anything in return. If I can do something for someone and I can you know, I say to myself, okay, I don't want any reward. مش عايز حاجة منه. But على الأقل إيه يعبرني, or at least they could do is just say thank you, right? So the reward here is just maybe a simple thank you. But what Tobit was doing wasn't even getting him that. The person was dead, but yet he was still serving him. So this is the kind of quality of servant that Tobit was and how much he gave. So at one point in his life, he was sitting after he came back from doing these deeds, and he was sitting in a bird. He was sitting, and his luck, the bird dropped in his eye, and he became blind. So he thought this was going to be the end of his life, right? So then he begins to tell his son some commandments. So he tells him as part of his last kid the commandments, and he says to his son Tobias, in whatever way that you are able, so shall you be merciful. If you have much, distribute abundantly. If you have little, nevertheless strive to bestow a little freely. For you store up for yourself for good reward for the day of necessity. For alms liberates from every sin, from death, and it will not suffer the soul to go into darkness. So he spoke about four things that alms liberates from or frees us from. Number one, it delivers us from sin. Number two, it delivers us from death. Number three, it delivers us from darkness. And number four, it delivers us in the day of necessity. I'll speak a little about these four points really quickly. Number one is it delivers us from sin. How does almsgiving deliver us from sin? So if we look at every sin and suffering, these are the consequences of pride and selfishness. My pride and selfishness leads to sin and suffering in my life. Whether I'm convinced of this or not, just look at society, look at humanity across the board. Where there is pride and greed and selfishness, there is suffering some way, shape, or form. And this is man's attempt to elevate himself above God. I want to be in control. I want to have everything. However, God wants to reverse this, this thing in humanity, or this desire in humanity, to teach us to gain victory over our sin and suffering through offering of self-sacrifice. So the offering of sacrifice teaches us to give of ourselves. If you noticed in the Old Testament, God told them many different sacrifices, right? And in the temple there were sacrifices from morning until night, perpetual sacrifices being offered. All of these, you might look and say, all of these sacrifices could have been used to give to the poor, or to build a city, or to do whatever. But God wanted to teach the people of Israel the element here of sacrifice, because this would be the thing that would save them from their sin, or begin to save them from their sin. And it teaches us to not be infatuated with ourselves. When I give, I'm not thinking about myself, but I'm thinking about others first. I'm thinking about God first, before myself. Giving of alms or giving is a selfless act. It's an act that I do not for myself, or it ought to be, but an act that I do for others. If we think about all the sins that we commit, we can narrow them down to just a couple of things. Greed, lust, envy, lying, all of these have to do with what? The self, right? I'm greedy because I want to acquire. I lust because I want to fulfill my desire. I envy because I want to be better than this person and I don't like to see him or her being successful. I lie because I want to get what I want. Right? Everything is about what is me. It's the self. So alms delivers from this desire, this selfish desire. Giving alms is also an act of love, an act of love that I do. There's a story in the book of Daniel. When Daniel was in Babylon, he was served in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was a pagan king, but he found favor in the king's sight by interpreting his dreams. The first dream that Nebuchadnezzar had was just about the times, the famine and the prosperity and all of this, and Nebuchadnezzar loved him for this because he was able to prepare and everything was great. And then the second dream, however, of Nebuchadnezzar was about himself. was concerning. It was a judgment on Nebuchadnezzar himself because of his own pride, right? Because of his pride. And Daniel reluctantly told him the interpretation of the dream. But then he gives him a piece of advice, and it's very important. So he's telling him here, here's a piece of advice after God has pronounced his judgment upon you. What does he tell him? He says, "Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity." So let's break this down. He tells him two things. He says, first, break off your sins by being righteous. What are sins? We mentioned before that sins are just missing the mark, right? So when he says, okay, break off your sin by doing righteousness. So this is, okay, stop doing the bad and do the good, right? So this is getting back on target. Then he tells him, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. But what are iniquities? Are they the same as sin? Sometimes they're used synonymously. But iniquities are basically, kida, the guilt that we deserve for twisting the commandments of God and His laws for my own benefit. So he's saying here, if I'm guilty of this, perhaps twisting the commandment of God, and at the end of the day, when we break the commandment of God, we're twisting it to our own self, because we justify ourselves. This justification is the iniquity, right? So he says, also your iniquity by showing mercy to the poor. So showing mercy to the poor is like untwisting this in myself, where I don't look at things twisted, but I look at them straight. Why? Because again, it's not selfish. It's not selfish. When I give to the poor, I'm thinking outside of myself, and this is exactly how God wants us to think. God put us on this world not for ourselves, right? But for one another, for the salvation of everyone and those who are around me, of course, as well as myself. And he tells him, perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. This lengthening of prosperity is God's mercy. Is God's mercy. So he's saying to him, when you give, perhaps this will give you or let you experience God's mercy. He will lengthen your prosperity. He won't pronounce the judgment that was in the dream. St. John Chrysostom also puts it in a beautiful way. He says, almsgiving enlightens the soul, encircles it. It makes it good and beautiful. So he's saying, when we give, this decorates the soul with beauty before God. He who resolves to have compassion on the needy will sooner cease from sin. He who resolves to have compassion on the needy will sooner cease from sin. So what is he saying here? That if there's a sin in my life that I'm struggling with, regardless of what it is, whether it's lust, envy, jealousy, hatred, anger, whatever it is, if I give to the poor and the needy, or give of myself, I will cease from doing this sin quicker, right? It's just like, sometimes when we go to the doctor and we're sick, and it's a virus, when we take antibiotics, it doesn't really help the virus. The virus takes its own time to heal. So I might get better on my own. But then if I take vitamins and different kind of, things to help my immune system, then they say this will shorten the duration of the sickness, right? So here, this is helping to speed up your overcoming of this illness. So the same thing happens when I give. It helps me get over the sin faster because I'm getting out of myself. So it delivers us from sin. Number two is that it delivers us from death. We see many examples of this through the Bible. Those who have offered offerings or gifts were delivered from death. If you remember the widow of Zarephath, when she showed mercy to Elijah and gave him water and a piece of cake, when he came to her house and he said, "What do you have?" She says, "Just a little bit of oil and flour." And he said, "Make a cake for me first." And many of us, if this was the case, and it's just me and my children, we would say, "Habibi, shub bit tani, go find a different house," right? But she said, okay. So she made him the cake first, at the expense of herself and her son. And she said to Elijah, we were planning to eat this and die. So now she's going to basically think to herself, we will just die. We won't even eat this, right? Because the man of God came and took this. Then what happened? Then he blessed the oil and the flour until the end of the famine. So it saved them from death. The famine that was supposed to kill them no longer had power over them because of the alms that they give, the things that they gave. Also, the Shunammite woman who showed Elisha, Elijah's disciple, mercy by providing for him food every day that he came. So she made for him a little room, and every time he would pass by, she would go and give him food over and over again. And then he said, okay, you're very kind to me. What can I do for you? His disciple said, she doesn't have a son. So he said, okay, next time this year you'll have a son. And he gave her the son. And the son grew, and a little while he grew sick, and he died. The woman, with all faith, took her dead son, put him on the bed of Elisha, and went and called him. And said, the one that you gave me is dead. Go, see. And what happened? He went to the room, laid on the son, or her son, and he raised him from the dead. Right? So again, her generosity and her giving saved her and her son from death. Also in the New Testament, there's another story of a woman named Tabitha. And the Bible says her name was also called Dorcas. It says in Acts chapter 9, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. So here, make sure to tell us that she did charitable deeds. And what was the result? When she died, Christ or Saint Peter raised her from the dead. So we see again, even in the New Testament, when we give, this delivers us from death. Also, giving of alms also delivers us from darkness. Delivers us from darkness. Or from the lie. We can say the lie is the darkness. Right? Cornelius was a centurion in the Italian army. And he was known for his good works. It says what? Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, was devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So look at this guy was a pagan, right? And he prayed to God, he gave alms, and he was generous to the people. What did God do with a man like this? An angel appeared to St. Peter, had him have a vision, and this vision is to tell St. Peter that God accepts the Gentiles just as he accepts the Jews. Now go to the man in Joppa and meet this man. So what did here? Cornelius didn't do anything, but the Lord did all of this for him. So he looked at his alms as an offering, and he wanted to deliver Cornelius from the darkness of his way. He didn't know the way of light. So he sent him Peter to come and enlighten his way, right? By a miracle, right? He sent him to him so he can enlighten his way. So God delivered St. Peter to him in a miraculous way. So also our giving enlightens us and delivers us from darkness. When I give, again, I'm not focused on the self. Also, alms delivers us from a day of trouble. Again, if we go back to the story of Tobit, when Tobit was telling his son these final commands, when he's speaking about almsgiving, he told him, for you store up for yourself a good reward for the day of necessity. So he's saying, when we give alms, we have like this storage, an investment that we can tap into in the day of necessity. So this day of necessity can be a day of tribulation here on earth. And in Tobit's case, he was blind. And as we know in the end of the story, through Tobias, his son, and Archangel Raphael, and the fish, and all of this, that he ends up anointing his father, and his father's eye was healed. So there was a day of necessity, of need, of trouble. And he found that his charitable deeds came back in, you know, this circle of things, and came back, and he was given the gift of healing, right? So it delivers us from the day of trouble, or a day of necessity. Also, this day of necessity would be the judgment day. Would be the judgment day. And in one of the passages, the Lord was speaking about giving of the mammon. He said, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon. Meaning what? Use the money that is earthly to invest in the poor and the needy. Why? So in the day of judgment, when I stand before God, all of these people that I helped will stand as witnesses for me and say, he doesn't deserve judgment. He helped me in this, 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 and this. So they'll stand as witnesses for me. So this is when we give, we store up for ourselves in this day of necessity. Who are the people that will witness for me when I stand before God? Lastly, the last treasure of giving of alms is deliverance, is delivered from corruption. Anything that we invest here on earth is corruptible. It's corruptible. Or it can be stolen. That's why the Lord said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But then he says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy nor thieves break in and steal. Can somebody steal the blessing that God will give me because of giving to the poor or giving to somebody who is in need? If they rob my whole house and my bank, they can't steal this from me. Why? Because it's secured in heaven. This is secured in heaven. We spend so much time securing our financials and stuff by investing and putting our money in banks that are FDIC, making sure they're insured by the government. So if something happens, I can get my money back and all of this, and finding different investments that are secure. We spend so much time trying to secure our earthly money. But then what about investing the things that need no one to secure but God? Because nobody can corrupt it, and nobody can, you know, steal it, right? So the things when we give are incorruptible and can't be stolen from God because they are in His hands. So we have many treasures of giving. They include the deliverance from sin, the deliverance from death, the deliverance from darkness, the help in the day of necessity, and deliverance from corruption. May God grant us the blessing during this Lenten season to be charitable and to give, that we might be delivered in the day of necessity. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.